There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source from Marvel Avengers Alliance. And, you know, you mentioned Spicoli before we got started. It just stuck in my head there.
If this is your time, if I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Oh, that's interesting. I am Epic Boss McFall. And before we get to that golden-voiced genius over there, so, Boss Klaus, man, what are you bringing to the table today? How are you doing?
My epic beard.
Yeah, man, it is. From what I've seen on the Facebook, it totally is.
None of my pictures on Facebook are recent, though. Like, this thing, I really do look like a mountain man. See, this is the problem with doing these intros right after all this stuff we did before we started the show, is we just talk about ridiculous stuff at the beginning of the show, and people who are just tuning in are like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
So, if you stick around, you'll figure it out. Before we get to the other beautiful host that is with us, I have actually been chastised that two things that people aren't aware of is Patreon and how that works, and what special thing we've been doing we started last month with Patreon. So patreon.com/FromTheHelicarrier is where you can help support the show. It's how you get into the Agents Only Lounge. You go there, you pledge just like PBS or NPR. You go and say, hey, I want to give X amount of money per month to help you out, and I can only do so much, so I'll lock it down at my time. That's fine. You see all the rewards there. Everything is great. It's beautiful. It all flows together. You get into the Agents Only Lounge, like I mentioned a minute ago, which is one of the best communities for Marvel Avengers Alliance out there. The other thing we started doing that anybody who's a patron can be a part of is we started doing our own contest last month. And some people actually were not aware there was a contest going on. They just heard a drawing like, what is going on? I thought I talked about it enough, but apparently not. So we do a contest every month with some of the goodies that Ibbit and I and Klotz get in our everyday lives, and we give it to one lucky winner who's a part of our Patreon group. So again, patreon.com/FromTheHelicarrier. So with all that said, Golden Age Ibbit,
yes,
you've got some headlines and some hellos.
Let's get to Lowe's first. Hello. All right, let's get to the headlines.
Hello.
Hello, lady. Coming up on the show, one PvP ends and another PvP begins. Spider-Man Noir getting added to our rosters. Spec Ops Spider-Verse Part 1 ends. How do we all do with that business? Marvel announces Spec Ops 28, Ant-Man, and the Vision uniform arrives, as well as some brand new EISO. Paul, besides that stuff, or including that stuff, just realized, what's on sale?
Well, until July 15th, we have the Avengers Age of Ultron Vision Alts, which comes in two varieties, the Blaster and the Infiltrator. Now, I have it on good authority that the one to shoot for is the Infiltrator one. Because it when he class swaps, he swaps into a bruiser with that one.
It's pretty tasty.
They are respectively, the Infiltrator one is 74 CP and the Blaster one is 63. Also, we have a America.
Off,
yeah, sale and Iron Patriot and Captain America also are available, as they are usually this time of year, briefly. I forgot to mention the EISO for Vision as well. Though that is, it's kind of a weird one. It's one for your agent that removes and prevents lockout effects.
Isn't it similar to the one there? I know we're going to get to PvP, but isn't it similar to the one we can win in PvP?
I don't know.
All right, well, we'll tackle that question when we get there.
We can get to it, but it's a little more niche than the other ones are. The verdict's out. I haven't really heard too much about whether people are picking that one up or not. Also, now here's a big deal. until the end of the day today, we have the weather control device for sale.
Whoa. I've been debating on picking that up. I've been thinking about it. I don't know, man. I know a lot of people swear by it, but I don't know. It's going to cost me money if I do it. That's all I'm saying.
I still consistently see it in PvP. Not all the time, but enough to where it's a pain in the butt because of the, you know, it's got a little bit of a health benefit, not nearly like the cube has. Mm-hmm. But then it's got 3 all enemies attacks that are pretty good. Not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of people use that exhaust. Anyway, carry on, Klaus.
Yeah. We also have toolboxes are back. If you're a giant tool, we've got boxes for you. They are bundled because they will be phasing out. That is, of course, for Fixer,
who is definitely worth getting if you haven't gotten him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use him in PvP personally. I know I think some have. However, those group bosses, he's come into play a few times with that.
He's pretty much like a mine peddler, right? Like he just kind of like throw out the mine. Blow up the mine. All right, sit in the corner.
Exactly. He's got one use, but it's a really good use.
Yeah, it is a really good use.
Yeah. So those are available until July 22nd, the end of the day there. So, yeah, that's of course, we have a new set of PvP items for your armory needs.
I'm just going to stop you there. Yeah, don't buy it. Nobody wants it. Stop.
Just keep moving. Don't stop. Don't look. Just keep moving. Walk on by.
Though I have to say, like we joked about the Molly, the hats and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would love if our agent could wear the fedora.
Oh, yeah. The fedora noir.
But it is not for the agent. It is for nothing because we have a new spec that is going to land at pretty much any point here. So, yeah. Them's the sales for the week.
Yeah. Again. If you thought I stuttered, do not buy the items because we just finished PvP 2 weeks ago, maybe. And here's a new PvP. No, guess what? You're winning all the stuff you could have just bought for gold. And I've won some of the stuff, right? It's the same level as the stuff I bought for silver in the last PvP. So, no. All right, moving on. We got a new Spartan shout out. One of my favorite agent names of all time, Agent Love Monkey. This is 300. So welcome to Sparta, sir. So Kurt, we just talked about the one PvP ends and another PvP begins. Now, was it 2 weeks ago that I know it's been over a week time that it ended, but it was very, very close together.
They were close together. And I've been hearing kind of the grumblings in the chat room about, oh man, it's too soon. It's too soon. When they extend the previous PvP, it does make it too soon. Here's my counterpoint to that is for the first time, I feel like Playdom is setting a schedule and sticking to it. This is the first, at least the first really good example of them saying, no, regardless of us extending the schedule of this PvP, we picked this date for this PvP to start. Yeah. So we're going to start it even though it's like a week. And that's something I feel needs to be encouraged. You know, regardless of what delays, what things like that, we've all seen delays. We've all experienced like, hey, where's the next Avengers costume? Or Age of Ultron alt? You know, where's the next... the next chapter, stuff like that. This feels like them saying, hey, we've got a schedule. We're going to stick to it. And I'd love to see this continue.
I hope this is the
shape of things to come.
I actually dig it because I know if you bought the gold items before, you're really, really kicking yourself. But we told you not to. Other than that, you know, it extended, right? It extended into the first week of Spec Ops. Then Spec Ops ran, and I farmed it, and PvP started towards the very last of Spec Ops, which is exactly actually how I did it in the days of old when they first got started, is you knew the last couple of days of Spec Ops, PvP would drop. At one point, that was the schedule. I like it. I like that Spec Ops ended. I could take a break by just doing five in the PvP or skipping it if I chose to, because we're going to talk about it. They've done some stuff to the matchmaking for sure, which I'm not hating because it's helping me out. But
yeah, but the rewards for the matchmaking are way incorrect. Like the number of points that we get for a win is completely wrong. Like, we should be getting more for the wins. I guess we're getting the same thing for the wins we are for the losses, which are both minimal. But yeah, those need to be adjusted. The CVEs, the refreshes, yesterday was like plague day for refreshes for everybody across the realm.
Actually, a couple of days have been like that off and on.
Again, I mean, the things like, you know, the starting of a new PvP so quickly, the one benefit of that is that really, who cares about the first few days of PvP? I mean, yeah, you don't want to leave it to the last day, but if you just go and do five battles, boom, done, you know, those first few days, if you feel like it's too soon, and then kind of pick up the pace midway and then really gun it up the last week or so, then that seems like the way to go. That seems like the way to kind of offset the complaints about it starting too soon. I don't know, but that's my take on it. I certainly don't mind it. Paul, what are your thoughts on it?
They're mine. My thoughts.
Okay.
I was a little disappointed that the Spec Ops the PvP came out so quickly, because I had wanted to try to push for 300 in between tournaments.
Right.
So, you know, like as you said, with the extension, it makes it seem like it's a lot closer than it normally would have been. But I also, like, after last PvP, I really needed a break. Like, I was kind of logging in, doing my group bosses from the last Spec Ops and stuff like that every day. But then I was just logging out. Like, I didn't really want to devote a lot of time, because I was dangerously close to getting burnout because of how much I was playing PvP at the end of the last tournament.
Sure.
So I would have loved to have, like, this week right around now, to just like sit down and level and farm CP, you know, because I'm pretty much out of gold and I'm out of CP because of everything that's come out recently. And so, you know, that's where I'm at. But I was annoyed the first day. I was like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, it's the show must go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think it's really, I love who we're fighting over here.
Yeah. Yes, Spider-Man Noir, right? That's really cool.
It's, you know, it's kind of, to sound like a hypocrite, because I have been called out by a certain somebody that I chat with on a regular basis. It is very fringe. You know, it's a really out there character. Mm-hmm. But it's such a, like, it aligns with everything else that they're working on right now, and it's such a cool character. And I really like that it appears like he's going to play very differently from everybody else, all the other spider guys. So it's exciting. You know, it's a cool time. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
It's cool. And this time around, we're actually getting, instead of a suit, which we'll talk about the infiltrator mech, which I guess, you know, if there's any resolution they could have come up with to the infiltrator mech causing all sorts of PvP mayhem, mm-hmm. I guess that's the way to do it. Just disable the mech portion of it until it's fixed.
Which is kind of what I said they could do, right?
Yeah, right. So. You were saying, like, make it even not available. Really, in essence, it isn't available, right? Because there's no benefit to using that suit until the mech part of it is available. You might as well use an infiltrator trench or one of the empowered 2E ISO slot suits or something like that. But this time around, instead of getting a suit, we're actually getting an E-ISO.
Which I'm excited about.
Yeah, so it's made just for scrappers. It's the Combatant Empowered ISO 8. It is, like you said, only available to your scrapper, your scrapper uniforms. Gives you Escape Artist, which prevents effects that lock out melee attacks. Is this a way of getting attacks back if they happen to be using, what is it? Is it Hugin's Eye that gives that, or Munin's Eye that gives the melee?
That's a good question.
That's not an effect on the attacker. That's an effect on the attackee. Yeah. So this shouldn't have any effect on it, right?
Now, this affects more like when you go through farming and play the bosses and whatnot, and they hit you with whatever the status effect is that keeps you from actually throwing melee weapons. There's another status effect that keeps you from being able to use ranged attacks.
Right.
Or the Invisible Woman's cage, you can't take offensive attacks at all. You know, you can't take aggressive stance.
That's what I thought. So, okay.
Yeah.
Also makes you immune to winded. And if you do a follow-up attack, it increases your attack and chance of critical hits.
So I'm going to look at the EISO from Vision. It is similar, but Vision's, it removes and prevents lockout effects total. So the Visionary-empowered ISO 8 removes and prevents all lockout effects, according to the description, versus when we win, only affects melee, and then it makes you immune to winded.
Right.
So it's interesting.
I mean, this is an interesting precedent to set. Frankly, a lot of people are upset that it's not a costume. Mm-hmm. I'm in the camp of I'm okay with that.
Especially after the last one?
Well, no, just we have a million costumes.
And let me clarify something, that this doesn't have to be used on a scrapper agent. You can use this on scrapper and heroes as well.
That's what I think is really exciting about it, is that this is opening up the door to getting items that are useful outside of just on the agent. Because, I think the thing, we're at a point where there are just so many options for the agent. We're just kind of flooded with different costumes and, how many versions of a trench coat can they give us, or, a flight suit that never actually turns into a robot.
Each iteration, right, it gave us something different, added EISO slot, or added more functionality, so we're like, okay, this whole round adds this fill-in-the-blank functionality. When they came out the flight suit, it felt a little stretched. It's like, that's cool, but I have to wait to see how it works. And unfortunately, we still have to wait to see how it works. It could be a very exciting functionality. Whereas as soon as I saw this EISO, now I thought it was only for the agent. So the fact you can use it on any scrapper is really, really cool. And I definitely like that.
The general consensus is, Union Jack being...
Right.
Yeah, because he's always doing follow-up attacks. So increasing attack on each of those and increasing the chance of critical hits, that's huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the icon is what fooled me. I think that's probably what fooled you too, Charles, that it's got the kind of the halo effect around it, like we've been seeing on more recent EISOs. At least the ones I've been noticing have that kind of halo effect for the agent.
Of course, we could all be wrong, and it's just not showing that it's agent only. These things can happen,
right?
But
the pain in your voice is so not funny.
Foreseeably, at the moment, this will be usable on all scrappers, which would be great. I was speaking with Nikolai recently. We were talking about the new tournament and the new rewards, and he mentioned that he wonders if it's going to just be you just get the EISO, or if it's going to be a research item where you could potentially build more. And my thought is, like, I'm not sure which way they would go on it, because I don't think it really matters if you can build more, because what's the worst you could do is have like two. Maybe. Right. I mean, you could foreseeably like set up an all scrapper team and put three on it, but I don't think that makes a lot of sense. So you might like load up two characters that it's particularly good for, but I don't see that as huge issue.
Now the Poke Professor actually has a really great point. Stack it with his, Union Jack's normal EISO as well, so he's getting more attack bonuses, which is
interesting.
Pretty cool. Yeah. And talking about the flight suit, I think as Nikolai posted the side-by-side pictures or the descriptions of suits, and it said one was made by Reed Richards and the other was by Tony Stark. I'm like, that explains it. Tony Stark built Ultron. Do we really blame Playdom or Tony Stark for the fallout from the rocket suit?
Right.
You know, just saying. I don't necessarily think it was Playdom's fault on that one. But let's talk about some strategies in PvP. Okay, of course, there was rampant refreshes the first couple of days, even. Yesterday being a very bad one, of course. And it unfortunately, I have to take the company line for Playdom and say, these things happen. I mean, that's a real-world tech issue. This is the first time I've seen it happen like this in the beginning of something in a very long time, if ever, actually, with them. But once you get past that, you start playing. I've actually been very, very happy with my experiences. I have not paid attention to any of the numbers. I just fight and watch my ranks go up or whatever. I just keep attacking each fight. I'm playing with the team I want to play with instead of a team I have to play with. That alone makes me very excited. Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
Yeah, same thing here. I mean, the win results, the amount of points you get for a win is just so wildly different. Like I've gone against somebody who was level 300 and I got +7. I went against somebody who was level 242 and got +26. I'm looking, trying to see what their actual, their game level was, obviously, because that's more important than their level in, their actual XP level or their, character level. But it just seems like such wildly different results, whereas the losses are almost all, in the 11 to 15, 16 range, regardless of the other ones. Yeah, here's another one where I went up against somebody level 300, and I, again, can't see their rating, but I was a +2. And I imagine that, that they lost considerably more than 2 when they get that loss.
What is this loss thing you speak of? I'm unfamiliar with that this time. It makes me very happy.
The matchmaking seems to be fine. I feel like I'm going up against teams that are roughly the same level as I am. And as I go up in ranks, as I go up in the rating, that stuff will kind of tighten up and be a little bit closer. But I don't feel like the amounts I get for wins versus the amount I get for losses is appropriate for those wins and losses. So,
yeah. Here's what I'm joking about is, for the first time in many tournaments, I'm actually logging into defensive pluses for the majority of the time. And I'll go look at the battle report, and I'll say, yeah, there were some losses, but a lot of wins, which it does make me happy. Now, is the meta fair? I don't know. But I do know right now, just playing steady, I'm in high vibranium, and I'm finding challenges there. I'm really, really happy. I've actually had to tweak my team. I was going through with, honestly, whatever setup I had with Age of Ultron Hulk and Age of Ultron Black Widow. And my agent had the Scarlet Rapier or whatever the new sword is called. And it is very much rapier than any other sword I've ever had. It hits a lot. But I went in and I made it up through Vibranium easy, right? And then I'm in Vibranium. And today I ran into, I think, 3 losses in a row, but they were fair losses. It wasn't like, oh, my God, what just happened? There's a lot of Quick Lords out there. Some can get me, some can't. And I don't totally discount Quick Lord because it is a meta. By discount, I would mean, oh, well, okay, that's the meta. I'm just going to lose to this one, move on to the next. Relentless Rapier. Thank you, Tom Fuman. However, I've gone up against some other teams that were very good. It came down to me and Beast having about 1,000 hit points each, and Beast won because attrition got me right at the last turn. So I'm like, I like that kind of loss. I never want to lose, but the fact that I'm playing against a team that rightfully came down to the wire, and maybe I could have changed a little something to win, that makes me excited about the matchups. And again, I just tweaked one little weapon here, maybe a suit there. Made sure all my crystals or AISOs were the way I wanted them, and then move forward. And I am again fighting in the battle and mostly winning, which is great. Has your experience been that, where it's a challenge but fun?
Yeah, I'd say that's been my experience. I mean, there haven't been any of those just kind of trouncings where you do one AOE attack that takes out all 3 of the other players in one shot. There have been some challenges. There have been 1 or 2 fights that were closer that I almost lost, but I've been able to do just fine with them. Paul, how about you?
Well, I'm currently getting stomped by Beast and Enchantress as we speak.
That's a good team that's out there.
That is a good team, yeah.
That is, I would say, of recent tournaments, that is the probably one of the nastiest top-tier teams that I've seen come out, where it's just really difficult to get anything accomplished because of the debuffs and the Mr. X and the Cowers and, you know, you name
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm just getting stomped right now. But from what I understand, we have entered the age of the glass cannon. I believe there's a bit of a movement in the Agents Only Lounge.
We've returned to the age of the glass cannon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would seem that the glass cannon is stronger than it has ever been
yeah.
before.
Yeah, by all means, that Quick Lore glass cannon team, if it's done right, it's a one-round team. I mean, yeah. it's a good meta. But it's not always done right, and turn order affects these glass cannons in a big way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of wonky. You know what I mean? I'm seeing people have been talking at length about the rating, you know, like the wide rating changes. Sometimes you get nothing, sometimes you get everything, sometimes, you know, and it works both ways. It's just... I hope that will smooth out by the end of the tournament. I hope it's not as chaotic as it is right now, even still. But, I'm just running into, like, I'm not very high tier. I just got popped out of gold by that attack because I've only been doing my five every day. But I will say that I'm running into serious competition earlier than I normally do. Mm. Yesterday I played against two Pesky Rolt teams back-to-back. That I did beat, but they were both pretty tough. That's a team I keep seeing popping up all the time again. Mm-hmm. I have not seen the Quick Lock ones. I think those have kind of skyrocketed to the top, you know, and the Star-Lord Quicksilver right. ones as right. well. I just think they're so powerful that they're just like, most of those guys are in Adamantium now. So yeah, that's where I'm at. It's interesting. We'll see how it all pans out.
You know? Yeah, it's kind of cool to see some of these characters we haven't seen for a while actually being, again, viable in PvP. Again, as new PvP seasons start up and finish, we're starting to see characters that have been long forgotten. Hercules, I've been seeing yes, a lot lately. Yes. Obviously, regular Hulk, now that his Age of Ultron suit is a monster. I just saw Iron Man in a battle. So, I mean, seeing all these, it adds some great variety, which means that we're having to do a little bit more thinking than just the, all right, fire, attack this guy. Now we attack this guy. Let's take out Molly. All right, now we take out
I'm actually fighting against a Ghost Rider right now, and he's holding his own pretty well.
Interesting.
It's my agent and Hulk down to Ghost Rider and their agent still has full freaking health.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, you know, that's something to celebrate is, well, yes, in definitely Klaus's shoes, if you get trounced by these metas, then you feel bad. But it's also a challenge to up your game and change your teams. And I'm torn. Because I really like a team that works, and my team is working. Also, Null Kurth works. But I really kind of want to dive in and see what happens if I bring back my old favorite Quick Havoc and Quick Lock and you know, Iron Patriot and Iron Fist. These are some of my favorite teams. I got to remember who I did with Ares. I did Ares and somebody that I really, really enjoyed for a couple of seasons. But I'm afraid to get out into that area because you have fun experimenting, but if you're wrong, you start losing traction. But you know what? My advice to everybody, including myself, is if you're going to do it now. Make your mistakes now, early in the season, so that you can adjust and find something that does work as you go forward.
And as always...
Did you just mention the Quicksilver Havoc team?
Oh God,
you
yeah, man!
Monster.
I love Quick Havoc.
Who are you?
Yeah, that's a fun one. Quicksilver Psylocke, the Quick Lock team, the Quick Havoc team.
Oh,
there's
damn
some
it,
fun
Ghost
ones
Rider
in the past.
I forgot.
Ghost Rider take you out.
No, I took him out and I looked up and he healed himself and then took out Hulk. I was like, oh.
Yeah, don't celebrate too quickly.
No.
But yeah,
no.
This, you know, as always, we've said this before, like little changes. Don't make big sweeping changes to your team. Make small changes. Try a few matches. Even do practice matches if you're worried about doing, you know, losing points. But try the smaller changes first just to kind of get an idea if things are going to work or not work.
Yeah,
I'm currently playing a team that Nikolai put together for me at the end of the last tournament because things had gotten so miserable for my Nico team up with Iron Fist that it just ineffective.
Mm.
Oh, like on yeah, okay. It was just the worst. Did I mute? Oh no, okay.
No, you're back.
And so I've been, it's kind of super secret, so I'm not sharing it with everybody, but I've been playing that, and this team that he set up for me, he basically went through and he looked at all my stuff, and he kind of, you know, made his little brain work like he does, mm-hmm. and he came up with this plan, and the thing is it's built around synergies, strong synergies, you know, things that kind of overlap and shore up weaknesses and stuff. I will say that Iron Fist is on the team, so that's always helpful because he's just a solid role player. But I've been playing with this team for a while. I don't know that I'll keep playing this team through the end of the tournament because I don't know that this team can compete at the end, you know, at the end of the curve. But it's interesting that now, earlier in the tournament, you can play around with these ideas and you can try different synergies, especially with things coming out all the time. Like, you know, we just got a new Spec Ops set out that everybody hopefully got most of, which, it, you know, the last couple Spec Ops sets have been really high quality mm-hmm. As compared to the past where we're like, oh, hey, look at this stuff we put on our shelf or mount above our fireplace.
Right, exactly. Oh, this will look nice sitting in the area.
Yeah.
Or throw selection screen.
Or instantly throw into the armory, right. As some people are wont to do. So, yeah, I mean, now is definitely a great time to kind of play around with it, play around with the new level cap. That has changed things a little bit as well.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that for a second. It's gone from 60 to 70, which I wasn't sure why. But it does seem to have an effect on it. I'm not exact. I can't put my finger on what it is. So, what's the deal with that? Do you guys think?
I really don't know what inspired it, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, obviously numbers are going to be a little bit bigger, you know, because you're going up 10 levels. But not. I don't know that they're going to be massively bigger. I don't know if they're just trying to. I really have no idea. I can't imagine why you would raise it 10 levels. You know, yeah. And they haven't really said anything as to why they did it. So,
right.
You know, if anybody out there knows, let us know. Because as I recall, like being at that level 60 to 70, the scaling was not drastically different. You know, it was being at like 50, 60, getting up to like 100, the scaling was hugely different.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much from 60 to 70. So, because you kind of truck through those levels, you know, like you... It's not impossible to get through that 60 to 70 gap in like a day just by playing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
but definitely been refreshing. Been a different experience for sure. A positively different experience. For
mm-hmm. sure.
So,
All right, moving on to next headline. We touched a little bit on the weapon set for Spider-Verse, but Spider-Verse ended earlier this week. And how did we all do as far as, obviously we all got Ultimate Spider-Man and Superior Spider-Man. How about the weapons? Were you guys able to get the full set or were you able to get at least I know Charles, you mentioned getting the rapier, the mm-hmm. Relentless rapier. Were you able to get all four pieces?
No, the one I didn't get was the roulette weapon, which I call it needle gun because it looked like, I don't remember what it was called. But I did ask our lounge before I really invested gold and a lot of extra time to get it. I knew the rapier was going to be good because not only had people already had it, the 64 gold weapon typically is worth having.
Yeah.
So I really focused my energy on farming that one, and I did. I spent no gold on that, but it was a lot of farming. I did find that the third mission gave me more, but it cost me more energy, or ISO rather, to get through it. Mm-hmm. They were definitely on the first mission. There were definitely times I ran through the whole entire thing, didn't get a single drop. So those were just some hills I was climbing. So when I asked about the needle gun, everybody said, If you are collect them all, of course, get it. Otherwise, we haven't seen a whole lot of reason to worry about it. And that's when I was like, okay, good enough for me. And I did try to farm it a little bit. I think I got one or two pieces. But at that point, it's like, I just don't care enough to invest that much time to get it. So I didn't get the whole set. However, I am happy with exactly what I ended up with.
Cool.
So you failed.
No. I lived up to my title as Filthy Casual. I'm just owning it.
Yeah, I got the set. The one I was really trying to farm for based on people's recommendations in Agents Only Lounge was the Close Quarter Netcaster, which is a, you know, another webbed. It basically is an increased webbed attack. So stacks with all of the other Spider-Man characters now that do webbed. So if you're going to have a Spider-Man team, boom, this is the one to use. It's a quick action. So it's basically like a free extra layer of webbing on the enemy. That's a really good one. The bioelectric pistol, from what I'm hearing, and I was able to get. Oh, I did say that I was able to get the set. This is let's see here. It's a good one. Somebody said actually a good one to use with Union Jack. On one enemy, it gives envenomed for damage every turn for two turns. Incapacitation, chance to lose a turn or stun for actions that affect those targets, and hobbled so that they can't do any stealthy attacks. It seems like a good piece. I haven't equipped it yet. I've really just been playing around with a couple of the other arachnid set pieces.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try the four set today after I've done a few more PvP rounds. I'm really working on leveling the two new Spider-Men so that I can have them up near the top for when the new stuff drops, just so I can focus on characters that are beneficial for team-ups and beneficial for overkills to get points in the next spec ups.
That's pretty cool. My Spider-Men go wherever the flight deck can. So that's what they do.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
However,
Ultimate is a little weak, yeah.
Superior is great. Yeah, Superior is great. I definitely agree with those assessments. However, I will say that when I had to take either one of them back through to farm, you know, they were required for the various boss fights. For the most part, they both held their own. You know, Ultimate, the Doc Ock version, whatever he is, he actually excelled, you know, from level 1 to level, I think he's level 5 now. I haven't really paid much attention to him, but he excelled in his battles. Only once did he die, and it was a well-deserved death. But Superior held his own, so I was a lot more happy with what they were.
You got them backwards.
Like my underwear, but at least I wear it. So
it's funny because I was listening to the other episode from when I was gone.
I don't know these stupid things.
Ultimate's the one you get in the lockboxes. I'm sure of it because I double-checked it before the show.
The really funny part is...
Yeah.
You literally just said it before you went into that
dialogue. I know.
You're like, yeah, Superior's great. And, you know, Ultimate, the one that's auto, that is great. Like,
everybody knows what I'm talking about.
I'm face bombing here.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I agree, though. Like, my frustration was with in the third mission in the Spec Ops. Now, I'm not going to go on a huge tangent about this because it doesn't matter anymore. We'll never have it again. But I was frustrated with the fact that before you recruit him, even because he's a protector by default and he just jumps in front of everything, all those boss battles with him in them were so annoying and tedious, and he died all the time. And it was just like, because, like, you know, like Sinister Six, if you six bird it, they are going to all, like, they take their turns in a chunk, and most of them have two actions. So they're just like, oh, we're just going to smash this little kid, and you have to sit there and watch. And
oh my God, he's so close to death. Why are you going? Why are you taking the protector role? Why are you jumping in front of the rest of us?
Why is a teenager jumping in front of, like, you know, Thor or whoever else you decide to bring in there? Like, what are you doing?
Let's talk a little bit about ISOing them up, by the way. We had a request from somebody who wants to, you know how to, recommended ways to ISO up Superior Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider-Man. Here's, based on the Pot Kettle Black spreadsheet that does the Excel solver to figure these things out. Superior, I've got with three steady, 3 of either stalwart or skillful, depending on if you want invasion, evasion or defense, and 2 forceful or mercurial, depending again on if you want evasion or defense. With superior, I'd say probably more of a focus on evasion than defense. With ultimate, you definitely want defense. And so the ISO that I'm using is 1 bulky or proficient, 3 steady, 3 stalwart or skillful, and 1 forceful or mercurial. And I can never remember in the pair of those which is the one that is the defense one versus one the evasion. All the other stats are the same. But you want to make sure with ultimate that you really, really beef up his defense since he jumps into that protector role so much. So there's a couple ISO strategies for you for those characters.
Very cool.
Yeah. Keeping those stored in here now so I can pull them back up as I level them. I throw ISO on them immediately because some of these characters really need it as you're leveling them, getting them ISO'd up.
Yeah, you know, it's... I usually, when I first run a suit or a character, I grab whatever I have in-house, you know, whatever I've won, and throw stuff on there and kind of watch the stats. And I have a general idea of where I want the stats to land. But then after I play with them a while and they're not quite working out the way I want, that's when I start tweaking and go to the Pot Kettle Black spreadsheet. Because a lot of times, my brain works differently. I have to learn how that character works, and I have to get them in the battle to do that. So while ISO will help me, it won't help me learn their actions and the way they defend and the way they act. So I have to figure that out first. Then I go figure out what crystals I think will work for them. And I've actually gone to tweak. I tweaked up Hulk, Age of Ultron, Hulk and Age of Ultron, Black Widow, both because of that effect. Once I figured out how I was going to use them, my crystal was way off. So I had to get in there and redo it. But it's very helpful. It's a very helpful tool, and everybody should have access to that, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just do a search for Avengers Alliance and then Pot Kettle Black, all one word, and it's instructions on how to build that spreadsheet, because I guess for legal reasons, he can't actually put the spreadsheet up there. So that's the way that works. But of course, if you ever want to know the Pot Kettle Black stats for a character, what his spreadsheet solver recommends for a character, just let me know, and I can post a couple of them.
So that is very helpful. Now, talking about PvP and the refreshes, I know a lot of people were very, very angry. And the only thing that came to mind...
We're not talking about PvP and the refreshes. We're done talking about PvP and the refreshes, Charles.
Fine, I'll save it for my tip of the week. I'll save it for the tip of the week, then.
We've moved on. No. Go ahead. What do you want to say? I'm just giving you shit.
All he ever wants to do is talk about PvP.
I know, exactly. Jeez. There's other parts of the game, Charles.
You guys don't understand, though. This is like the first time I've ever competed on any level with real people in the world. I don't play game. I never got into Halo where you played with everybody. Borderlands, I played by myself. You know, I don't play with others because I don't play well with others.
You played Borderlands by yourself, dude?
Yeah.
That is bleak. It's like, that is not a game to play by yourself.
I had some friends. I played with some friends some, and it was fun. You're right. It's not necessarily a game you play with yourself. I just don't play well with strangers. There's so many stories that'd be a side note here. But the thing is, here in PvP, I love it. I love going in there. I love our community. So with the refreshes, which actually came with some of the spec op stuff, and it actually came with some of the daily missions, the refreshes were rampant throughout. They were just more prevalent in PvP. There's a time to walk away, and that was that time. I mean, I got some really angry direct messages going, oh, my God. I mean, just losing their mind. And I didn't type back because you can't convey certain things in writing. You have to be able to speak it. So I held it for today. But it's you have to step away. When you get to that point that you're losing your mind as much as you want to play, you can't. It's just going to piss you off more. It's fuel to the fire. You're going to end up hating everything about this game. Walk away. You know, for a time. Anyway.
The only issue is that it overlapped with the end of the spec ops for a few people. Mm-hmm. They were just trying to finish, you know, whatever they had to get done. And that's when it gets really frustrating. It only happened to me once. I was very fortunate. But I could see why people are frustrated when you're doing PvE and you're just trying to get missions done.
You've got a time limit. Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, now I got to repeat that last fight I just did. You know, and some people, there have been spec ops before where I've like, I've had to do amazing, crazy things to get enough UISO to finish just in time. Mm-hmm. So that's also another factor is that, you know, if you do like one of the boss battles or something where it costs you, or I think some of the battles cost you 20, you know, something like that, it can be rough. So
yeah, 20 ISO down the drain because of a CVE, and then you've got to start, especially if you're like 3/4 of the way through that battle, you're on like the last couple characters in the Sinister Six burning it. Mm. Oh man, yeah frustrating.
Or
like, sec.
Or a group boss. You know, you could be doing a group boss, and then nope, you didn't kill that group boss, even though you did. Right. So sorry, guys. Yeah. So it's hopefully they get it fixed.
All right. So moving on.
I know they called me out in the chat room. I just had to throw it out the bug of. Go ahead with the airman and stuff.
But first, more PvP. First,
let's talk really quickly about PvP. All right, we're done talking about PvP, but let me actually bring one more thing up about PvP. We got a new announcement from Ben Morse, a new article from Ben Morse on Marvel.com about the next Spec Ops for Avengers Alliance, which is focusing, as we expected, on Ant-Man. Spec Ops 28 coming, quote-unquote, soon. Is going to feature Ant-Man, the Scott Lang Ant-Man, as well as Yellow Jacket. And they've been actually pretty secret in this article about anything else that's part of it. He mentioned Whiplash, Yellow Jacket as villains, that there are going to be ants all over the place. But as far as other enemies, we don't know. We don't know who else we're going to be going up against. We also don't know... obviously, it's way too early to kind of suspect who's going to be a required deploy for the epic boss. Although, there might be hints to that as far as there being very specific AISO in this Spec Ops, which is brand new, like having AISO specific to... Well, I guess it's not brand new. We had that with the Runaways.
Do you think, do you think you're bringing heroics to the Spec Ops?
Oh, they could.
Because that's what they did with the Runaways. With the AISO, but
that gave us EISO. These are AISOs.
Okay, you're right.
So maybe coming from deploys, who knows? But AISOs that are coming for Blade, Nova, and Juggernaut. So who knows? Those could be required deploys, and we're just seeing them now for the Epic Bots.
Please make Juggernaut viable in PvP again. He's one of my favorites.
Oh, he used to be great. Oh, he used to be used all the time in PvP. So
him and Magneto together were just brutal. And please play them. Do that. Right. That would make me very, very happy.
Onotopia does point out that it's including Blade, Nova, and Juggernaut. So there's the way he phrases it, we've added a whole new batch of AISO that's specific to this spec up. So and includes AISO, Blade, Nova, and Juggernaut. So probably a lot more. So get ready to farm this while you're working on PvP. What else do we find out? We found out that Chapter 9 is coming down the stretch, as well as Spider-Verse Part 2 and other Spec Ops, and Age of Ultron uniforms for Hawkeye, Quicksilver, and Scarlet Witch. Lots of carrots being dangled down the racetrack for us to hop in our Greyhounds and chase after.
Do you want ants? Because this is how you get ants.
Yeah, this is how you dance with all those carrots. I have already started on the artwork for from the Helicarrier task list guide. So hopefully as soon as they drop the announcement, as soon as they drop the spec ops, we can get a task list and I can get that thing populated. It was so much easier when you had little Spider-Man circles. I'm trying to figure out, you know, the little black dot that Hank Pym has on his chest is just going to have to do, I think, as one of the design elements. We'll see. We'll see.
Are you a tracer?
Am I a tracer? No, I'm a Photoshop copier and magic wander.
This is making a classic reference there. But
Tracer. I got you. Okay. I was thinking like
never mind. Let's
tracing the artwork.
I don't get it either. It's okay.
So anyway,
Paul, you're always on point with my references. Come on, man. That are you still bitter about PvP?
He's trying to come up with some. He's trying to come up with another topic for PvP.
Oh man!
So anyway, so that's the news that arrived for Spec Ops 28. Anything to add, guys? Like, obviously, I'm looking forward to using Hank Pym probably a ton in this thing because he's one of my favorite characters in the game. And despite him being played by old crusty Michael Douglas in the movie, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm still a little disappointed that they didn't go with Avengers Hank Pym. They went with the retired Hank Pym for the movie. But I'm very excited about Scott Lang and where this movie's going to go. We've got 15 days remaining in PvP. My guess, it'll be next weekend.
You go back to PvP?
It's a time frame. God.
I'm kidding. You'll figure out any way to work in PvP.
There's 15 days on this certain clock in the game that says to me that it'll be at least a good week and a half from now before they drop Spec Ops. If they stick with the old
ways. I disagree completely.
Yeah, I disagree too.
Do you think they're going to drop it in the middle of
we will
this other
it.
Thing yes. going on?
When do they not drop a Spec Ops in the middle of PvP so that there's all these new items to research?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the film comes out next week.
Yeah, week from
it comes
Friday.
Out on the,
so.
Yeah, I mean,
so we're gonna say next Thursday then.
No, we're gonna say next Thursday.
I said good day, sir.
I'm gonna say by the weekend.
We say by the end of the week.
Yeah,
I would think by the weekend. If not by the weekend, we'll probably get it on Tuesday because they usually don't release anything on Monday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I mean, it's more than likely gonna drop before the next show. Mm-hmm. So,
I'd say by Friday at the. Is my prediction.
Onatopia is adding, don't forget what's next. Chapter 9 and Spider-Verse Part 2, along with Age of Ultron uniforms for Hawkeye, Quicksilver, and Scarlet Witch. I guess that was maybe in that article, perhaps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the real question is that just the spoiler for the rest of 2015? Is that what we can
They're
expect?
Saying, I mean, the way they're phrasing it is, what else is coming up in Alliance as the summer heats up? So
yeah,
it seems like they're saying these are all things that we're going to try and release this summer. But, you know,
for calendar reference, summer ends in the end of mid to end of September.
Right.
So now we have mid-July to mid-September to look forward to this stuff.
Right, so hopefully. 2 months. Basically.
Hopefully. So
yeah,
that'd be cool.
Let's again, if they're sticking to a schedule, they're gonna hit it. They're gonna focus on meeting deadlines. I know none of these things are things that they've really shown a propensity to do in the past, but there's always the hope that, you know, that now we're gonna start seeing some
Kilgara does point out, sorry, that July 9th is when they've announced Ant-Man invades Marvel Games as
right.
a whole. So yeah. Thanks for making me look stupid, everybody. I appreciate it.
No, I mean, it's, you know, we've seen stuff drop in Future Fight before it drops in Avengers Alliance. So I'd love for that to happen across the board. Love it to be 9th of July across the board. But recent history has shown that it doesn't always happen in games all at the same time. There's Ant-Man stuff, new Ant-Man stuff already announced in Marvel Heroes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alternate costumes and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
so it definitely, they're probably right. It'll probably come soon. More soon than ish.
Right. ZX Thud in chat is saying he thinks Chapter 9 will come down next week. That, my friend, is a bold prediction.
I would not expect
Chapter 9 for a couple weeks. I'm thinking we'll probably get it about halfway through the Spec Ops. As because, you know, all the people who are quick out the gate will be pretty much done with Spec Ops by then. And so it'll be there. I mean, you know, they can kind of drop those anytime, though. They just try not to. I noticed that they do make an attempt to try not to bunch things up too much, but
it would be nice if they could get on a regular staggered schedule of Spec Ops, then PvP, or, you know, Spec Ops, then a covert ops or something like that, then PvP, then, you know, something else. And then every few run-throughs of that come out with a chapter in place of one of the covert ops or something. But
and then Taxman 843 says Chapter 9 will be never, LOL.
That's also a bold statement.
So, you know, they run the gamut. Speaking of Chapter 9, you know, that means we're going to get another worthy that is going to ruin my day for all of that thing that McFall loves. Any predictions on that?
The next worthy? The thing is,
it's going to be Victor Mancha. That's my prediction.
That is a bold claim, my friend.
Wow. The thing would be, you know, is a name that I've seen thrown around as a possibility. That would be a great one.
You said
it's
thing?
Thing
was one of the worthy, so he was angry.
So he's out.
Oh, in the comics he was, right?
Yeah. So they're not going to do him. Also, he's Fantastic Four, which is
a big no-no.
Right, they're
now.
Kind of walking away from.
They're
putting him in the Fantastic Four in the corner and saying, hey, you guys go ahead and play for a while. Yeah. We'll be over here hanging with the Avengers. Let the adults sit at the table and talk while you play with your toys.
It's unlikely to see them do stuff with X-Men anymore, but it's like virtually impossible to see anything happen with Fantastic Four now.
True.
So, I don't know which. Have they announced which one they want to do yet? Which name? Because that
That might help. No, I don't know.
Who needs the most help? You know, that's been kind of a guiding factor. Who needs to refactor the most in the game?
I see some guesses here. Black Cat, Mockingbird, Gambit.
Mm-hmm. I would say yes to all those, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow Cat and Black Cat have ults already, but they're like, you know, they have fringe use. Mockingbird being an SO character, well, she was the first SO character though, so they might do her.
So from the clairvoyant, we're actually getting some art assets that looks like it could be Captain Britain, Hercules, Thundra, and Black Knight, possibly.
Very interesting. This is cool artwork too.
It is really cool artwork. Yeah. You guys can see it. I will put it up on the post, and so you'll be able to see it there. We'll make it the album artwork as well, so you can see it on Facebook when we do this. I'm saving it. It's cool artwork. It's definitely a possibility, and all those characters could absolutely use a refactor. Captain Britain, not as much. He's just not as powerful as he used to be. But I think a worthy of him, especially if it matches that artwork, would be very much well worth their time.
Right.
He's also telling us to trust him, so.
Yeah, we saw where that got you in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm just saying.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, did we? Yeah, let's read these out real quick, what these predictions are. Just to stew the pot a little bit, if you will.
Sure.
We've got Hercules as Angrier. Mm-hmm. We have Thundra as Greythoth. Or Greytoth, I can't remember how it's spelled exactly. We have Captain Britain as Mock, Keeper of Faith. And we have Black Knight as Necrod, the Breaker of Oceans. Something like that. So, yeah, those are interesting predictions because... the original characters there. I like the Thundra call. I think that's really on point because it was Absorbing Man in the comics. And so, you know, staying in the Wrecking Crew, like related Wrecking Crew stuff makes a lot of sense.
Right.
This could be it. This could be the list. It'll be exciting to see who comes out next and is super broken and ruins everybody's day.
So. Well, the good news is you can only use two of them in PvP. So it's the more they add, you still only can use two of them.
Yeah. Well, unless it's the daily missions, then you can maybe use three. But you're right.
Sorry,
and that thing that I cannot mention, you can only use two.
Nurkod. I'm sorry. It was Nurkod, Breaker of Oceans.
You're Nurkod. You're such Nurkod. And nobody
you know,
likes
we,
you.
we got some people who listen to the show and participate in chat that are very, very tuned in to making sure that we are very accurate.
Yeah, they are.
Thanks, guys.
I appreciate that being on point because, you know, I'll make assumptions like the halo around the PvP EISO, meaning that it's agent only. But then, you know, they'll be like, no, I think it's for everybody. So it's stuff like that. I like that they keep us on point and keep...
I'm not actually complaining. I mean,
I know you're not. I know.
I just
wish you were more accurate, Klotz.
Wow.
Well played, sir.
I'm kidding.
All right, so we got some alts to talk about, and then we've got a Kingfisher.
That's right. We got our Vision alt. We talked about that being on sale. I love your recommendation as far as getting the Infiltrator version, Paul. So I'm going to actually go and buy that one right now. I actually did buy the Blaster version thinking, well, you know, if I don't use it, at least it's a good hero bonus. But the fact that the Infiltrator version swaps between Infiltrator and Bruiser is really good.
I did not realize that. I bought them both just because I came, because I figured Blaster is the melee in the standard version. Blaster is the melee. Infiltrator is the ranged. Mm-hmm. No, it's the other way around. Blaster is the ranged. Infiltrator is the melee.
You can't get anything straight.
So just play opposite, Dan. Follow along. Damn it. Shut up.
Anything that has two options, you switch.
I thought that with if you got the Infiltrator, it would swap them. But you're saying that quite possibly, and I haven't gone and tested it, that quite possibly it actually swaps into Bruiser, which does add a whole different layer of play. Mm-hmm. However, I haven't found a whole lot of reason to use the alt so far. It did make him better to play with. He's more fun to play with. Still a mid-range character for me. You know, yeah, a mid-level character. So that was it. That was my take. Mm. There you go. You're welcome.
Cool.
Now I'm looking forward to Hawkeye. Hawkeye, man, I'm digging the crap out of him
With Kate Bishop. With Kate, it's going to be fun to kind of see what his alt brings to the table as far as pairing him up with Kate. So looking forward to that one. Obviously looking forward to Quicksilver too, to see what they can add to him or what they can change with him that will make him even more of a dick.
Speedy big dick punch.
Quick dick. 2.0.
All right. I think that's enough about current events. Should we get to the frosting of today's show?
I'm very excited to see what he has to say about the new PvP. So here is All Hail the King.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Today there's something different. I don't have any real complaints about the game. And that may just be because I haven't been playing as much. But no, seriously, I don't really have any issues. Nothing's ever truly perfect, but in PvP, it's been going fine. Now, yes, the matchups haven't been perfect, but I'm pretty used to it, and after I advance in leagues, it will get better. Then they finally released another Age of Ultron costume, and that will be what the video is going to be about. But first, let's go ahead and do a wrap-up of the last Spec Ops. And oh, by the way, one thing that's really made me happy about the game is my gifts are once again fixed. This time, I think it's going to last. It came with the last update, so I'm hoping that rather than being a fluke, they worked on it and finally fixed it. So that's why I'm more optimistic than in the past. But as far as the Spidey Ops, I feel like it went pretty well. We of course got both characters and the full Arachnid set. I'm very pleased with it, especially the Relentless Rapier. I would call it the RR for short, but that's Rocket Raccoon. I was thinking if only it was the Rapier Relentless, then it could be the Rare for short. Instead, I guess it's the Rera. Sort of like She-Ra, I guess. That was a thing, right? Anyways, I don't even know what I'm saying. Someday, these segments may be a chronicle of the Kingfisher's descent into madness. Well, anyways, the Spec Ops set is fantastic, especially the Rapier. I've been using it in both PvP and PvE. Speaking of PvE, I've been running Season 2, Chapter 1, Mission 5 for Black Knight's AISO every single day, multiple times a day, for what feels like forever now. And I cannot win it. I keep coming up just one slot short. So I'm really hoping I can get that so I can make some Black Knight videos. I don't want to do it without the AISO. Although I know I could. I have a really long list of videos I need to make, and I don't know if I'll ever get to them all. But at different times, the priority does shift, and I think Black Knight is pretty high on the list now. I still would like to do a video on the rest of the Inhumans, and also begin the character reviews. But that's just a short section of the list. By the way, just as a side note, as far as character training is concerned, I have 3 level 13s left. or if they're not 13, they're very close. Then I'll have all level 14s once again. It shouldn't take that long, and it will definitely be done before this PvP season is over, and Spider-Man Noir joins the list. But as far as that last alternate costume to be released, we of course got Age of Ultron Vision. With that came a few changes to Phased. So far, video-wise, we've been showing him with his Age of Ultron teammates, which of course is beneficial because they all share passives. But for our All Hail the King video, we're going to focus on Phased characters. Way back, I believe, in Team Spotlight Episode 1, we had Vision and Kitty Pryde, and I think it's time we tried them out again. So that will be our first team up of the video. Then for our other teammates, we're going to feature Dr. Voodoo and Moonstone. I think these teams should work out pretty well because it's hard to beat what you can't hit. But at least Phase does say takes less damage and chance to avoid magic attacks. And of course, at least on the team up with Dr. Voodoo, we're going to have a little bit more defense as well. That's of course because Dr. Voodoo grants our allies magic warding. Magic warding says immune to magic effects and takes reduced damage from magic attacks. So all in all, it should be pretty solid. I used to absolutely love Phase teams, so I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. As for the segment, that's going to be it for today, but I want to thank you all for listening, and then send it back to the host.
I despise Phase teams, man. You put that with the cube, and you can't touch them, but that's on defense. That's, you know, what I'm about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Using them, sure. They're actually pretty, they're a lot of fun. Yeah.
They're great if you know, keeping, it's the trick of keeping them phased. Dr. Voodoo and Kitty Pryde, Vision, as he mentioned.
And of course, with the new tweaks to phased, you actually can do more without losing your phased ability.
Without breaking that, yes, exactly. At least with Vision, you can. I think it's still only one thing you can do with Shadow Cat before she breaks her phase.
Yeah. And of course, with Dr. Voodoo, there's a certain amount of, there's like two attacks you can do while phased as well. Which,
yep.
I'm just glad that Protect does not stack with phased anymore, because that was, that'd be more brutal than throwing in the robotic flight suit into your defense, you know, before they nerfed it, or they locked it out, rather. They didn't nerf it, they locked it out. What was the mission he's hunting the AISO on for Black Knight?
Oh, I didn't get the number, but it's the...
I have to go and write it down, because I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't have that AISO either. And I'm always thinking of good things to go farm in the downtimes, and I don't keep a list of the stuff I need to keep a list of. So
I'm pulling it up right now. Let's see. It's the shielding empowered ISO 8, which you get from... Oh, wait. Was he talking about... He was talking about AISO or EISO?
A. Yeah, so. I've got 215 and 276.
Right. Yeah. The Restful Atonement augmented ISO 8 and the Trampling augmented ISO 8.
So, that's pretty cool. So, because Black Knight's cool. He just, even with his refactor, he's still not that great. Although I just did go up against him in a practice round.
Oh, really? Interesting that he's getting pulled into practice rounds too now.
Yeah. So it's different. All right, we've got a lot of from the fields here, and we got a get to
very small amount of expanded universe.
Okay, oh, we do. Okay,
knock it out. Yeah, I see.
There's a future fight update.
I thought you were going to bring Fantastic Four. I'm like, no, we follow Marvel's example. We don't talk about Fantastic Four. Sorry, Future Fight. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, there's a big Future Fight update coming out with a lot of new features. They're releasing the Ant-Man stuff too, but they put out a big post over on their forums that lays it all out. It's extensive. They're doing more quality of life stuff. They're adding alliances into the game. And they're adding a whole new set of missions and stuff for the new characters for Ant-Man. They're adding 5 characters. We're getting Giant-Man, Ant-Man, I think Wasp, Yellowjacket, and Red Hulk. I'm pretty sure I got that right. But somebody will correct me if I didn't. Yeah, that's a lot of new characters, which is pretty cool.
But the quality of life stuff is the stuff that's really noteworthy. Like, not only do they keep pumping out new models and, you know, new characters to play with, but they are also continuously improving the quality of the app and the way you can play it and everything. So that's pretty cool. In other news, also the Dice Masters Age of Ultron OP event is starting for many stores now. So if you're into Dice Masters, because I've talked about it before, or just in general, the Age of Ultron set is imminent if it's not already out at your store. I know my local store is getting it by the end of the week here. But so that's all I got for Expanded Universe news.
Cool. I might have to pick that up. I've been collecting the Dice Master stuff, and I haven't played in a while, but figure that's anytime soon I'll be able to.
On an interesting side note, I was catching up. I'm a big fan of a YouTube channel called The Dice Tower, and it's run by a guy named Tom Vassell, and he has a whole bunch of guys that work with him, and they review tabletop games, board games, and everything else extensively. I mean, these guys, you know, when they do the show, you can see Tom Vassell's collection behind him, and he's got dozens, if not hundreds, of board games. Collectively, the people who work on that channel have played everything under the sun. And it's a really great resource if you're into, you know, tabletop gaming, if you're into playing board games with your friends or family. Great place to go to find out about the quality of stuff. He actually rated Dice Masters as his favorite game of 2014.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, which is, I mean, he's, you know, he's a fan of Magic the Gathering and stuff like that, and it does play somewhat similarly. But I was really impressed by that because that's saying a lot.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, so, you know, go check all that out. And he was super stoked when the game first came out, and apparently it was good enough to make number one on his list for 2014. It's a great game. We keep playing it locally, having a good time. So,
did you kind of side note here? Did you back the Zen Bins Kickstarter thing? Did you see that it was like a dice collectible dice game storage bins?
Yeah, I did not. I kind of have my own system, so oh, it was cool. Just kind of like it, I thought it was cool though. The big concern was about them being maybe a little bit too flimsy. So we'll see how it all comes out.
Yeah, but, you don't want something that's going to dump everything all over the floor when you pull it out.
Yeah. That is literally the biggest issue with playing Dice Masters, is finding a way to store your cards and your dice and be able to lug them around. Because each set has, you know, like 130-ish cards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's usually three or four versions of each character. You know, each individual character. So you know, divide that into that number, and that'll give you an idea of how many sets of dice you'll need. And you usually keep up to four dice for each character. So it can get like, if you start lugging around pounds of dice after a while, and you obviously want to keep them kind of organized, because if you just make them a jumbled mess, it's impossible to find what you're looking for.
Yeah, for
it just
sure.
takes forever. So it's definitely one of those things that I wish WizKids had put out their own solution for. Something that was like, you know, rock solid. Like, they release these little collector's boxes, but like, they only hold a set, and most people aren't going to lug around just one set. And it's right. like, they need to come out with something definitive, and they need to come out with it so that it's officially licensed. It's got cool stuff all over it. And hopefully they'll come out with something that's sturdy and can hold a lot of these sets simultaneously. Cause I've collected every set this far, which is two Marvel sets, a DC set, the Yu-Gi-Oh set, and the Dungeons and Dragons set, and well, I have a ton of dice.
Speaking, have you noticed the Age of Ultron collector's box that has a?
Yep.
It comes with. Sure. Did you mention? Okay, you mentioned that there were storage things. This one's got like a storage tray that holds over 300 dice.
Yeah, like I said, those will usually fit like a set, maybe a set and a half. Is my experience, which is the only problem, is that you can't store all of your dice in it all at once. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
You kind of need something, you know, plastic. You need like some heavy duty plastic, like a toolbox or something, to carry them around at this point. But we have gone way off track here.
So you guys have spent 5 minutes talking about throwing a baseball.
All right then.
Whoa, dude, you never get to crack jokes about that, because you were on a different planet at that point.
Yeah, I know. I was indeed. So, all right, here we go. So Agent Slim writes on our web page at thehellocarrier.com, a fine show, and I'm starting to see a constant theme, talking about issues, things Playdom is doing wrong, things that they should do comparing to other games and companies. We don't know how big the development team is. We don't know if they're expanding, contracting, what their funding is. But what we do know is that they're a Facebook game, which has been up for 3 years, so it's profitable. Whatever business decisions they make is probably the right one, at least for making money, thus continuing to exist. I would honestly kind of disagree with that as a blanket statement, but I can roll with this. I understand that these are all important, but I don't actually have a problem with listening to that. But if you went back to your earlier episodes, I'd say they had more content that is actually about the game in the game. Strategies, teams, even how to ISO up your team, taking one character at a time. Useful stuff for the average Joe who can come here and listen to you guys explain 10 different ways, from the hardcore to the filthy casual. I had the filthy part, he's just a casual. How to defeat a heroic battle, a group boss, or a three-wave Spec Ops 27 M3 boss fight. How to... I don't need... Okay, again, here comes the old man in me, F2P.
Free to play.
Okay, how to free to play, where are the actual good weapons, ISO, stuff to farm in chapters, and taking a good examination of what is to offer. Now, all that you say about the new content in the game is I'm at this and this stage, and I feel this and this about it, which takes a couple of minutes, and it's done for good. TLDR, which I do know what that means now, stop being the issue carrier and start dishing out some content. If I'm correct, after reading this, you'll go into our opinions matter and make a difference because Plato listens to us rant with a smiley face. Cheers, Agent Slim. You know what? We actually, Paul didn't get a chance to discuss this, but I did. Ibbett and I discussed it beforehand. We agree. We've been remiss in what we did to make this show as entertaining as it was. And we tried today, of course, to bring more in the game strategies as I believe the people want.
Right. And that said, though, when there are missteps and when there are issues with release schedules and problems like that, CVEs plaguing, you know, days of PvP, stuff like that, we're going to mention them on the show. It's still going to be brought up here, but we are going to be a little bit more cognizant about spending a lot of time mentioning it. So,
can I chime in here?
Of course.
No. Agent Slim says no more clots. That was
actually
a side note.
We're going to talk about PvP now.
Well, first I'm going to say to Agent Slim that you took two paragraphs to essentially say "dance monkey dance." No, I'm just kidding. Appreciate the feedback, but here's the thing: most of the listeners of this show, I would say a majority of the people who listen to the show are Super Spartans. If they're not, they're experienced players. So the content that we did a year ago, 2 years ago, you know, from the beginning of the show before I joined and even when I'd first started, we don't really, like, anytime we talk about stuff like that, we tend to get a lot of feedback that we're either off the mark or somebody else has got a better build or this or that. Like, we get a lot of feedback where it's like, yeah, you know, the strategy that you guys laid out, it could be better. And I'm just being honest. I mean, and it's the truth. None of us are as hardcore as we, you know, the game has changed a lot. And, you know, it's hard to keep up with it sometimes. But we do have an entire segment where this weird guy from the internet talks about different teams and builds and how to do things. And then he puts a video up on YouTube that corresponds with it. So there's always that, usually every week. And when we do talk about the things week to week, that we do talk about, like, where we're at, what we've messed around with and stuff like that. So you're getting a real honest, you know, bird's eye view of how we feel about things at any given time. But that being said, yeah, it's been kind of crazy lately. So we've been kind of on top of that stuff. We can try to incorporate more, you know, more strategy content. There's actually a little project that we started a few months ago that we put on pause for a while that we've been talking about bringing back and actually rolling out. We haven't ironed out all the details, but there's something coming. So that might interest you.
Would that be winter?
And that
Shut
is
up, Ned Stark.
That is something that is available to our Patreon supporters. And will become available in the future because I'm sure we will move forward with it as we go a little further into the year here, which, you know, guys, I guess maybe we should make a commitment to actually getting that going again here real quick. But yeah, thank you for your feedback. But just keep in mind that, like, there's a lot of strategy content
involved with the show and the Agents Only Lounge and out there. And honestly, half the time when we suggest something, somebody tells us that we're crazy and there's a way better way to do it. So, you know, your mileage may vary. We do try to give a broad spectrum too. Like, you know, we get the Super Spartan perspective. We get my perspective as somebody who's almost a 300, but not quite there. I have most of the things, but not all of the things, you know, stuff like that. So, thank you for your feedback.
Ellie, and we got Ellie who comes in. Even
who's like, oh no, this game's so
what the hell are
so daunting. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, thanks for the feedback and we'll try to do better. But do, you know, keep in mind there's a lot of stuff out there to take in.
And just, well, one, we also partner with other people like Kingfisher and Poke Professor talking about he's doing some breakdown videos. I said, send us some links. We would love to promote it. So we definitely partner with other people who are putting out content along these lines. And finally, you know, our opinion does matter because Playdom listens, just so you know. Now for PvP news. So carry on with the... That was tongue-in-cheek for those who don't mind. No, I was being sarcastic. Funny. Right. All right. Next email.
Wait, right, you think you're funny?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
Greetings, Agent. This is Agent Raimi, FTH. First, I want to apologize for last time's email. It was stupid, I know, when I said Future Fight is better. I was just upset because after long playing in MAA, I haven't gotten as close as 50% of the heroes, and I really want to be of use to the show and the players. Before I continue with the email. Dude, wasn't stupid at all. It's any opinion stuff like that matters, and we don't discount it, so you shouldn't either. And don't certainly don't take our response of that. I think we even said, if you're not enjoying MAA right now, then yeah, then play Future Fight. So I don't think any of us are thinking that it was a stupid email. Secondly, I want to propose to you some ideas that I think could make the game better. Team-ups. Number one, team-ups should not only give a score, but status as well, such as in Future Fight, Journalistic Integrity Venom, Spider-Man, and Captain Marvel, for example. I know it'd be hard because of the agent, but they can do a two heroes bonus, such as Band of Brothers, Loki, and Thor. Good call. Add some way, and you're kind of starting to see that with like Kate Hudson and, or not Kate Hudson, Kate Bishop and Hawkeye. let's actually see Kate Hudson get added to the game. I'm all for that. But Kate Bishop and Hawkeye putting those two together, you kind of do get a little bit of that bonus because they play off of each other. Same with the Warriors 3, for example. Item number two, add some way to farm specific heroes like in Future Fight and Marvel Heroes. Agreed, like being able to focus instead of saying, yeah, just give me some generic CP. I want to work towards getting Mockingbird or something like that. Yeah. That's an interesting idea. Make it friendly for newbies, such as daily login bonuses. Should give a hero for the first week or at least bigger CPs. Yeah, I think we're seeing that. You know, with Future Fight, it's a lot easier to kind of get a starter stable of heroes quickly, and then you start farming. Whereas with MAA, it seems like your starter stable is like three or four heroes, and then you've really got to work to get that fifth or sixth one. So that would be an improvement to the game for sure. Add a revenge bar in PvP to get at least half of the points lost. I love that. So you go up against the same person who just beat you, and if you can beat them back, you get some of the points back that you lost.
I don't know about getting the points back, but they actually had that in early days of PvP in that little section where you log in, get the news, and now it can be watch this video, get a gold bar or earn gold or whatever it is. They had a revenge section, and it showed who attacked you.
That's right.
And you could attack them back. Now, I don't know how it mattered with the points, but they did have that. So it is something that's already in the code that they could possibly institute.
I forgot about that. That was really cool and had that for a while. Third, is it just me or did they really mess up Spider-Man Noir? And again, do you think they'll keep adding new spiders without buffing the original or even giving him a new alt? I'm excited to try out Spider-Man Noir. I mean,
what do you mean mess up? I'm not sure where you're going with that.
What's the question about that? And do you think they'll keep adding new spiders without buffing the original or even giving me a new alt? Yeah, I mean, we've already gotten the black suit alt. We've gotten the one last year, the amazing alt, right? So we've gotten a few alts for original Spider-Man. I'm totally fine with getting like Spider-Man 2099 as part of the next Spider-Verse, something like that, or Ben Reilly or something. And finally, I know this has been long, but do you think they will make a Scarlet Witch Age of Ultron alt, or maybe just next Christmas hero will be Ultron or Ronin? Because come on, did anyone even think about hybrid, or maybe add Dokken or Nebula as a lockbox? Well, we are getting Scarlet Witch Age of Ultron alt, so but, that one has been announced.
Let's still do those other things too.
Okay.
That'd be awesome. Christmas maybe, Ronin? Yes.
Yeah, Christmas that's Ronin just, would yeah. be. Yeah. The characters they bring in for a lockbox has to be somebody who's at least fought on the good side at one point or another. And I don't know if maybe Ultron has, but I don't think Ronin has ever.
No, Ronin has.
Well, in the comics, Ronin is much different than in the
he's
movie.
He's a Galactic Guardian.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's one of those guys who's kind of ruthless, you know?
He's an actual judge. So, I mean, like in the sense of, I will judge you for what you've
Ronan
done.
Oh, Ronan the Accuser. Duh, yeah. Of course. Yes. Yeah.
Versus how they played him where he was a little more fundamentalist psycho. In the movie.
Yeah. The film version of him is a little off the mark of the comic version of him. Yeah. But it's inspired from the same place. Yeah, he's kind of ruthlessly efficient and whatnot. But yeah, he's a Galactic Guardian at one point, and so he does do some good here and there. Ultron, I don't know on. He's bad man. Bad robot man.
Dokken would be a great addition.
Nebula would be
Nebula would be cool too. Yeah. So, yeah, any of those would be great additions for lockbox
Not that
characters.
We need another infiltrator in this game.
Right. Closes out. Goodbye for now and good luck. Well, thank you, Agent Raimi, FTH. Great points. And I miss the Revenge Bar now that you bring it up. It'd be cool to be able to go back and fight some of the people that that took you out in AFK fights.
Yeah, that'd be fun. All right, we got time for one more, and then we'll figure out what to do with the rest of these. We might hold them until next week because there's a lot, and I'd hate to just put them on the flight deck, but we'll figure that out. Sure. But Klotzy, you got this next one.
Agent Cage writes in saying, "Hello to you three fine fellows. It's been quite some time since I last wrote in... but I had some interesting ideas. It's the way the page break works because I'm trying to read ahead a little bit. It was really funny. Last wrote in, but I have some interesting ideas I wanted to let you in on. Firstly, I guess I should explain my absence. I got to a stage where I owned all the heroes at relatively high levels, and it suddenly dawned on me that this was the closest I could be to completing the game. So I took the opportunity to give myself a nice 6-month break. Wow. I came back in the last couple days of the PvP tournament and figured I might hit Vibranium if I was lucky. So you can imagine my delight when they extended the season and I was able to make Adamantium. Every cloud has a silver lining, eh? Yeah, right? The main idea I wanted to pose was this. Since Disney is a notoriously evil corporation who will close down any non-profitable subsidiaries, and we already know that the game is not making as much money as they want, then what about organizing a Kickstarter to buy out ownership of the game when it comes up? As a guideline, I would probably think that offering a few thousand CP to pledges would really entice those newer players. Also, a monthly subscription offering a guaranteed amount of gold per daily login would likely be a great way to restructure the current money-making scheme for the game, and every level of player could benefit from it. Good to hear you all again. Good to hear from you, all of you again. I'll see you in the future, Agent Cage."
That's interesting. Let you buy stock.
I laughed at it. First of all, they could just, instead of just shutting it down, they could put it out to sell. Mm-hmm. That's the geek in me goes, "Ooh, some people want to grow up and own a baseball team. What if we could own our own Marvel game? That would be right. Shut up and take my money." No, that would be kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you have to make sure that there are some good solid developers who are going to be able to maintain it and not just kind of let it sit idle. But that's happened before. There was a game called The Stone that was an online game that I can't remember who the creator of it was. But when they stopped doing it, basically the player base took it on themselves to keep creating content for it. And obviously, it was way less involved in a flash based game, but it was.
I think
I think it's in the realm of possibility that if they wanted to reach out and find another firm to take over the game, mm-hmm. you know, and essentially like just say, okay, this is just not something we're interested in really pushing anymore. It's got an established fan base. Here's the platform and everything. And just hand it off to another developer, because that's not unheard of. Games have been handed off before.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it recently happened with Sony Online Entertainment. Sony cut that division. They said, we don't want to have Sony Online Entertainment as a company anymore. And it split off and it became its own company. And, so these things can happen. The likelihood of it is probably pretty slim. As good as this game is, it uses an archaic platform in the fact that, you know, when this game first came out, people weren't playing as many games on their phones three and a half years ago.
Yeah.
Phones have come a long way, what they're capable of. You know, you've also got tablets and everything else. Everybody who's working, every small developer who's looking to make app style games is trying to focus on that. For the most part, anybody who's worth their salt in any case, because they know that's where the future is, because that equipment is just going to continue to get better. It's going to, you know, your phone and your tablet are going to continue to be able to handle more and more as time goes on. So they're going to program and design for that. I would love to see this game get an app version, a real app version. I don't mean the iOS weird doppelganger that is not actually MAA. Sorry, Greg. Agent Greg out there who actually plays the iOS version. I feel bad.
Right. We haven't heard from him in a while. If he's done updates on where they're at
in the lounge, he's doing some updates. But he is okay. Good. Yeah.
He floats around the lounge, so he's active still. But that's the thing is they're just in such a weird position. That they got to find somebody who's willing to do it, or they got to be willing to make the big push. The biggest problem is that if they switch to an app, you know, everybody's going to expect all of their stats to carry over, like all their characters and everything.
Yeah, I would hope so.
and they cannot do what they did with the Playdom.com thing again.
No.
They can't make people start again from scratch. It's just that is unfathomable. You would lose so many people. They're lucky. They're lucky they survived that. I mean, I think it was because it was a relatively small community over there that it worked out. But yeah, so that's my thing is like if they can find either another developer or make a platform shift, they could, yeah, start amping up the monetization in a different way. Something like the Tony Stark thing from Future Fight, where you pay $4 to get a month's worth of bonuses, is awesome. Anything like that. Yeah, I mean, they could do tons of stuff, but they definitely need to update their monetization model because I really just think it's so cost prohibitive that most people don't want to buy in. And the people who do expect a lot for their money and they're not getting it. So, yeah, great, great letter.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So do we want to, because there's a lot of great letters coming after this. Do we want to just hold these for next week and see if we get some new stuff in, or do we want to go ahead and – all right. Because we got a lot of emails this week, and they're not all time sensitive. You know, there are a lot of great ideas like this. There are a lot of great ideas about content, tips and tricks. So we'll definitely hold them on then. So these three you'll find on the flight deck at thehelicarrier.com. You can click there to see all of – well, when we started doing it, I didn't go back and redo it, but from when we started going forward, which is about show 80, I think it was, you'll see all of the emails that were read or not read on the show. Basically, they made it in, and then we had to skip it, so you can catch them there. And if you subscribe to the newsletter, which I believe is thehelicarrier.com/newsletter, and it pops up when you're a first-time visitor, it pops up like once a month or so if you want to subscribe. You'll get that sent right to your email on Saturdays. Do we have any tips this week?
The one I do anytime that we're out of Spec Ops and there's a Spec Ops on the horizon is same recommendation. Don't collect your resources until late in the day and until you're sure that Spec Ops isn't going to drop that day. Because if a Spec Ops drops and there's a task where you've got to collect UISO, then you don't want to have wasted your opportunity to just advance that task.
There you go. Klotz, you got anything?
Leave out some carrots if you want to get some ants.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.